discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Good afternoon. It's 12:15. Michael Knight sitting here in our Palatial Radio Studios with my guest, Sean Patton, getting ready to go. We're all set for you with another great show that starts with tax tips, and then we'll talk to Peggy Moxley a little bit later today. But before we get started, consider this. If you were a tax, what kind of tax would you be? That's the kind of question that people used to ask in interviews. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Well, you have to pick a tree, so you're the larch, okay? But now we're talking about taxes. Maybe you're an income tax. Imagine that. You are the income tax. You wait until some sucker is waiting for his paycheck, and before he can open it, to check his available vacation days, you lop off 27%. You give it to the Department of Agriculture, which gives it to a sub-department that gives your money to a guy named Gus in southern Indiana. But do not be bitter. Maybe you are a payroll tax, so let's move on. Another way to take a look at your paycheck, although no one believes me, it's quite amazing to actually see it shrink visibly in your hand. Now, you can bellyache about that, like so many people do, but let's move on. Maybe you're a property tax. There's your deck, extending with confidence across the front of your home. Would you mind awfully if we were to tax it at the same rate that Catherine the Great taxed goats and marsupials? Remember her mad reign of 1758? Everyone does. She really upset the goat-loving Cossacks that were hiding in the Ural Mountains, and I don't know how that ever got settled. But let's move on. Perhaps you're a consumption tax, and this is not a way to spread diseases of the lung. So, not that kind of consumption. When you spend what little money you have on goods and services, you shall be taxed. Burgers, cat litter, Lamborghinis, pocket protectors, laser rocket system for your brother-in-law, taxable. Well, then what about tariffs? Well, tariffs are just a tax with a different name. You put it on stuff to make people so mad they won't buy the stuff. So buy something similar from an American company? No, they say, I will not. I want shoes made by an Italian craftsman, regardless of the price, not a repurposed candy cotton candy machine in Altoona. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Oh, I cracked myself up. Okay, isn't he clever? While I'm on the subject, fees and tolls are to be paid, but if you ever have the courage to venture out from your deckless house to the destination, they have toll roads and bridge tolls and ferry tolls and bells that toll for thee. And toll house cookies taxed at a rate of 85%. And lastly, we move on. There are devices that are not actually taxes, I mean not explicitly, but they result in income going to the government through losses to you and other members of the public. I don't have a perfectly good example of this, but imagine there's a day spa revolution going on in Jupiter, Florida, giving new meaning to the word day and certainly new meaning to life for Robert Kraft, who's now slipping into something comfortable, which, and you might be ahead of me here, shall be taxed. So let's meet our very special guest, Sean Patton. He's a tax expert, but he is not responsible for the taxes themselves. I'm right about that, right, Sean?
That's true. I'm not responsible, but I'm here to help if anybody needs assistance with filing their tax return.
I believe someone must need assistance besides me. I just, my avoidance is really remarkable, Sean. I even amaze myself each day that I don't do my taxes. We have 24 days to go. Well, that's a good number. That was Willie Mays' number. Maybe something will strike me. I doubt it, though, but maybe something will make me do my taxes.
In 24 days, I looked that up as well, and we're coming up near the deadline. So for me, that gives me a little bit of worry at the office with the volume of work that's left to do, and might give you all a little bit of pause as well, knowing that that deadline is approaching and going to have to sit down and do your own taxes, Michael?
Do you have deadlines within Cordial Nair that are deadlines before the deadline when you say, all right, tell everybody we're taking no more business until, I guess you'd never say that. What a silly thing to say.
Yeah, we're always taking new business, but there is a point in which if a client brings information in that it might be necessary to file an extension just because we won't be able to get to the return before the deadline.
This would be a bad year to file an extension without also sending a check along, because it's hard to estimate this year if you're not familiar with the new tax laws exactly how much you might owe.
Right. If you haven't sat down and thought about your tax situation for 2018, I wouldn't procrastinate any longer. Now's the time. And definitely you, just like every year, if you're going to file an extension, which you can do with Form 4868, the extension's automatic. Lots of statistics out there that that does not increase your chance of audit. In fact, it might lower your risk a little bit. But you do need to make sure that your taxes are paid, by April 15, to make sure that you don't have any interest and penalties on any amount, that might be due, following that date.
If you have a question for Sean Patton, please call right now, 509-663-5656. And if you're like me and you're afraid to look at the 1040, when you do look at it, you're going to see that it's completely different. And that's going to raise several questions in your mind, as it did with me. And I know you're going to want a professional to answer those questions because the IRS is not answering their phone. I don't blame them for that. They're shorthanded. And the idea of getting in professional help at no cost, directly to your phone, is something that you cannot get for free in the real world. So call 509-663-5656. Do you think the average Jill and Joe can make an estimate about what they owe and send a check with their extension and be close to the money?
I think so. I think that you will want to look at, even though the tax laws have changed in 2018, you certainly want to look at your prior year tax return. If your situation is about the same, that'll help you, give you a little bit of guidance as to how much tax you might want to make sure you have paid in. If you're in a similar situation to the prior year, you can look at your tax liability and make an estimate based on that. Given the 2018 tax law changes, hopefully they've benefited you with the lower marginal tax rates, as well as some of the additional items that might help with respect to lowering your tax liability. And so maybe you'd be a little bit overpaid and be able to get a refund when you actually reconcile and file that tax return.
I have a question about, let's say I'm filing an extension. There's somebody on the line. I'm sorry, I didn't see the line ringing. Hi, KPQ, you're on the air with Sean Patton.
Right. Question on taxes. I hit the state lotto for $10,000. And how do you offset that against your previous gambling for $18,000?
Great question. Congratulations, by the way, on hitting the lotto. That's great.
Where'd you buy your ticket?
Out of Ellensburg.
Okay.
It was hit $5,000.
Wonderful. Well, you've probably received a 1099 for those winnings, I assume.
And they withheld $2,600 or $2,400.
Good. So they withheld about 24-25%. Pretty standard, right, on gambling winnings like that. You can still offset your gambling winnings with gambling losses, up to the extent of your winnings, of course. In order to do that, you'll need to itemize your deductions on Schedule A, along with your Form 1040. If you can't itemize, then you won't be able to offset that with those losses. You'll just be taking the standard deduction, which would be higher than your total itemized deductions.
All right. But the if I have the itemized, then it would wipe out the tax burden.
Yes, up to the extent of your winnings, you can deduct those gambling losses.
Yeah. Well, I gamble more than I win, so.
Well, at least you got a win in there.
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations on your luck, however feeble it might be, and good luck with the next $10,000, okay?
Thank you.
My pleasure. Give us a call, 509-663-5656. Tax Champion is in the room, giving you advice that you can't get anywhere else. This is 509-663-5656. That was an interesting law that you referred to just then. I win $10,000 on the lotto, which is, I guess, gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Then I lose $10,000 in Vegas. Then I go back to Vegas and I lose $5,000 more, but I can't deduct that, can I?
Right. Yeah, you've hit your limit for the year up to the extent of your winnings. So you're only going to be able to deduct up into that amount to offset that income, nothing over and above.
I had a question once 1 year. A guy that I worked with, his car blew up, and he used it to drive to work. It was necessary for his work. And he thought he could take a loss on the car, but you can't do that, can you?
Nope.
He was told not.
Yeah, not on a personal asset, right? You never had to You're not using that as a business asset. If you were, you might be able to do that. But any personal asset like that car doesn't affect your income taxes at all for personal purposes.
What sort of losses are acceptable, I guess? Dollar losses based on business transactions?
You can have some types of casualty losses that you might be able to get. They've changed some of those rules with respect to the new tax law in 2018, but some of the large nationally declared disaster losses might still qualify if you had a loss from one of those.
What sort of deadlines are coming up, other than the 24-day deadline to file everything?
Well, that's the big one right now. After that, everybody gets a little bit of a reprieve, I suppose, for income tax purposes. After the April 15th deadline, though, for businesses, they have payroll and excise taxes due coming up at the end of April. And any business that has extended their tax return, partnership or S corporation that was due on March 15th, that next deadline would be in September for them to file. And then us as individuals, of course, filing an extension, we have up through October 15th. If you do file an extension, though, make sure to make any necessary estimated payments, for the next year. The due dates on estimated payments are April 15, June 15, September 15, and January 15 of the next year. So even though you still may be working on your 2018 tax return, your historical numbers, don't forget that the IRS wants their taxes for the income that you're generating in the current year as you make that income. So if you're somebody who pays estimated taxes, make sure you start making those payments when they're due, even if you haven't completed your 2018 tax return yet.
Sean Patton is our guest. He's from Cordell Nehrer. He does taxes all day long. Well, he does a lot of other financial planning for you as well. But if you have a tax question, which must have crossed your mind by now, call us at 509-663-5656. And you are suggesting that maybe this is time for some people to be thinking about an extension if they can't get all their act together in time or get someone to help them or some whatever the case may be.
Certainly should start your planning at this point.
If I think I owe $5,000, and I send them a check for $5,000, but I actually owe them $6,000. They penalize me for the other extra $1,000, right?
That's right. You're going to have some interest and penalties on that additional $1,000 that's due.
Hi, this is KPQ. You're on the air. Who's this, please?
This is Chris.
Chris, you have a question for Sean Patton. You have the floor.
I have a question. I have a brother who is developmentally disabled who works and receives Social Security. Up until last year, the program that he was part of has been doing his taxes but won't do them anymore. So I'm going to be doing them. Is that going to look a red flag for IRS that now someone else is doing his taxes?
You know, it's a good question. I don't have a list necessarily of what causes red flags with the IRS, but I don't think that the person preparing necessarily has anything to do with that. Typically, IRS might want to audit a tax return based on, you know, large changes, large swings in income or expenses for any one year. If things aren't, you know, similar to what they've seen in the past, that may trigger an audit just so they can look into the new information that's come to light. But I don't think that you preparing the return would be any reason for them to audit that tax return any more than previously.
Okay, and have my brother sign, since he is still able, he doesn't understand, but he signs and then I sign as the preparer?
Unless you're a paid preparer, then you don't need to sign the tax return. You would still have your brother sign the return. Or if you have power of attorney to be able to sign for him, you could do that as the taxpayer.
Okay. Yeah, the guardian, so the guardian can sign.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for the call, Chris. I appreciate your time today. Sean Patton, I appreciate yours as well. We answered a few questions. Good for you. It was a sunny, beautiful day, and the people still called to talk with the tax expert. And if you have further questions, I refer you to Cordell Nair. Not because they pay me, they don't, but because I think that they'll give you a square answer, a good deal, and they're the professionals who know their business. And they've figured out this new tax, all the new tax laws, to a fare thee well, and you can't stump them. Do you guys ever have a special case where you walk down the hall and say, look at this, I've never seen anything like this before. Do you know what to do with this?
Oh, certainly. That's the, you know, benefit of working in a public accounting firm, is that if you come across something you haven't seen before, you can always walk down to a colleague and see if they have. But there's an infinite amount of information out there with respect to taxes and tax laws, and you don't see everything every day. So when you do, you might have to do a little bit of research, and that includes asking a colleague. So, of course.
So Sean Patton says the tax laws are infinite. That will give you some idea. They've got the advantage on us right now. What do you have that's infinite? Not much, I bet. The tax laws begin here, and they go forever and a day into infinity. Thanks, Sean.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
In one moment, we'll be welcoming our second guest. Peggy Moxley is an attorney at law. She specializes in health care. We'll find out what's on her mind right after these words.
Free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Good afternoon to you. It's 12:35. This is News Radio 560 KPQ. My very special guest is Peggy Moxley. Peggy is an attorney in law here in town. She specializes in elder care and elder law. I guess the two are somewhat together, right? The laws of the elders provide us for the care that we must provide to the elders?
Yes. However, I am not allowed to say I specialize.
Well, that's all right.
I
apologize for saying it, okay? You're interested in it.
I'm interested in it.
Now, there's a guardianship forum coming up tomorrow. Starts at 8 o'clock, runs all the way to 5 o'clock at the Red Lion Inn here in town. And the forum presenters are giving you ideas about guardian services, treatment centers, the law, medical concerns. What else is on that list?
Well, the rights that someone has if they're in a nursing home is an issue.
Well, let's start there. What rights do we have if we're in a nursing home? Because I've never heard this discussed.
Actually, I'm not an expert on that subject, so I don't know a lot about it. But in every nursing home, there is a Bill of Rights that is put on the wall and that is a part of someone's contract. And we are going to have someone talk about it tomorrow.
Excellent. What else do you find to be the most perhaps misunderstood or less or least attention given to some part of elder law that we should all be knowing about, but we somehow sweep it under the rug?
Really, the whole discussion of whether or not someone has capacity. For a guardianship is initiated by someone who has concerns about an individual.
Like a child?
Usually an adult. A child of, yeah.
Right.
And so they bring facts before the court, and the court decides if the facts are sufficient to appoint someone to investigate what's in the petition.
And who gets appointed?
Well, they're called a guardian ad litem, and that's actually different from a guardian. But it's done to make sure that if the petition said the person doesn't understand money anymore and can't manage their money, that's really true, because some people have taken advantage
of
family members or other elders.
I hate hearing about that.
And it's more common than you would believe.
Help me with my Latin. Ad litem means?
I'm not sure, again. I'm too far out of law school to remember what some of the terms are.
Okay, well, et cetera, we'll say.
But the guardian ad litem is to determine what is in the best interest of the allegedly incapacitated person.
And does this person have legal training or medical training to make a determination?
This person may have legal training, and in Chelan and Douglas County, probably 75 to 80% of the guardian ad litems are lawyers. That's not required. It is required that someone have experience working with seniors. So we have some people who are social workers who act as guardian ad litems. And they have to apply and show their credentials. And then they get on a county's list. And then they have to do things every year to maintain being on the list. And the different counties require different things to stay on the list. This forum tomorrow does satisfy the requirements of Chelan County to stay on their list.
Do you think there should be a doctor or a medical opinion in there somewhere?
Actually, the guardian ad litem is required to get a medical opinion. And from someone who has examined the allegedly incapacitated person within 30 days.
Okay.
So that is a very hard requirement, and it must be done.
Is this something that you find is done too early or too late, sometimes by family members or friends? In other words, the damage has been done.
Well, if they apply too early, then the guardian ad litem would usually find that the person was not incapacitated. So, I mean, there needs to be sufficient circumstances that the court can conclude it needs to be investigated. I watch TV, as a lot of people do, and
sure.
On criminal TV shows, you know, they're always talking about giving the judge enough facts so a search warrant can be granted.
Correct.
And it's kind of the same idea.
Hmm.
You can't just say the person's incapacitated, because that's the conclusion. You have to give examples of how they're incapacitated.
Tomorrow during this guardianship forum that's at the Red Lion Inn, starts at 8 o'clock, goes to 5 p.m., is there a cost?
There is a cost. If you were over 65 and not wanting any certification credits, it's $20. If you're under 65 and not wanting certification credits, it's $50. If you want any continuing ed credits, which is what I mean by certification credits, it's $150. We are taking registrations at the door. We already have about 80 registered. For those who are coming at the door, we're not guaranteeing that they will get a lunch. Your cost generally includes a lunch, but we had to give a head count to the Red Lion on Monday night.
So tomorrow you may have 85, but five people should bring their own lunch, as it turns out.
Yes, or go upstairs and eat in the restaurant.
Here's a topic that's a sensitive one, maybe more in this country than in other nations. The right of association, threading the needle between access and safety. I assume we're talking about men of a certain age still wanting to drive their cars?
That is a right that comes up all the time in guardianship.
Is it a right? Do you have a right to drive your car?
Well, if you pass the test.
Yes. Okay.
So it's not an automatic right. But sometimes, and I've had this happen in cases, where there might be a family member who has stolen money from the senior.
Oh, boy.
And so then when the guardian is appointed, sometimes the guardian has tried to limit that person's access to the senior because they're going to ask for more money.
Gotcha. What about this idea of, does the state have, if you don't pass your driving test, I guess they pull your license. Is that true?
Well, you never get it if you don't pass the test.
You have an old one that's expired.
And if you have an old one, then it wouldn't be renewed.
They would probably ask you for that if you don't pass the test, just so you don't use it, even though it's expired.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you experienced situations where people have been reluctant to give up their right to drive, license or no license?
That is a huge issue because a lot of us equate the license with independence.
Yes.
And then the other fact is we don't live in a walkable community. So
most communities are not walkable.
Right. So if you don't have your driver's license, you may not be able to get to the grocery store for your food, to a pharmacy for prescriptions. So that is a huge issue.
Well, What about the number one issue that's growing now, and as people are living longer lives? My dad made it to 90. I sometimes wonder if I'm going to make it that far. But the point being, we live longer lives. Our bodies hold out for a long time, sometimes much longer than our minds.
That is, I mean, we have two things going on, and why guardianships are more common. People are living longer, and the longer you live, the greater chance you will have some form of dementia.
Right.
At 85, one in two people have some form of dementia.
At 85, half of us have dementia.
At 85, half of us have dementia.
Oh, I'd never heard that before.
And then the other issue is the baby boom. I'm right. Part of the baby boom. I'm in the middle. But, you know, just as they say 10,000 people are turning 65 every day.
Wow.
In about 10 years, they're going to be saying, you know, of that 10,000, maybe 2,000 will have died. So 80,000 or 8,000 a day are then turning 85.
We're going to have a very old population. If we could look 500 years into the future, someone living 100 years might not be the least bit remarkable. I wonder if the mind will still be able to stay with the body as the bodies find ways to live longer. But the mind has a way of canceling that out. In other words, just stopping to function.
You know, maybe they'll be able to do transplant minds. Who knows? You know, 500 years is so far in the future.
Well, I'm just looking back 500 years in the past. People didn't live much past 30 or 40.
No.
Now we live to be, 80 is not uncommon.
It's not.
90 is found more often than not. I just heard Jimmy Carter turn 95, and he's out building houses, which I can't do. I couldn't do that when I was 25.
For a married couple, there's a 50% chance that one of the two will live to be 92 years old.
Ooh, fascinating idea. Boy, aren't you full of information. That's Peggy Moxley. She's putting on and part of the 2019 Guardianship Forum. Aging and Adult Care of Central Washington wants you to go to this forum if you have any questions about personal things going on in your family, or you want to qualify to be a ad litem.
A certified professional guardian.
Yeah.
Possibly a guardian ad litem, or to even be a lay guardian of someone in your family. Some of these topics will be relevant to lay guardians.
This is happening tomorrow. Concerned about the needs of your elderly or your disabled or your loved ones? Who are not so old right now, but are going to be plenty old in 5 years or 10 years. Well, this is something that you should be interested in. Tomorrow, Red Lion Inn, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll be back to discuss this matter with Peggy and say goodbye right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560.
$2,399 at Sunrise Dental, Wenatchee.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:49 on a beautiful afternoon here in Wenatchee. I'm Michael Knight. You're listening to News Radio 560 KPQ. The show is called The Agenda. My very special guest is Peggy Moxley. I couldn't think of your first name, Peggy. Forgive me. Peggy Moxley, attorney at law and a specialist in aging and adult care in Washington and the legal rights thereof. She's putting on a special... And she's part of a special guardianship forum that starts tomorrow, bright and early, 8 o'clock at the Red Lion Inn here in Wenatchee. Runs all day, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, because there's a lot to know and a lot to learn, with a lot of forum presenters, all experts in their field, making their pitches and and telling from their own life experience what it's like to take a case to court, to try to get someone who is probably on the edge of dementia to get their affairs in order. What's the hardest thing for you? What's the hardest thing about your job in elder care?
Sometimes the family dynamics. Some seniors, as they get dementia, don't acknowledge it.
Right.
And they continue to live at home, and their children believe they're unsafe. And so it can become adversarial, but it's necessary.
Especially if they want to cook and not turn off the burner.
Well, they want to cook. They drive. I mean, during the pendency of one guardianship, I had the woman who was the subject of it back into a sheriff's car.
Whoa.
And then also back into a building twice, the same building. So, you know, it was not safe for her to be at home. In a case, had a 80-year-old gentleman who thought he was a teenager, because they go back to, you know, they don't remember today.
But they remember their childhood.
Right. So this guy kept getting out on the highway to hitchhike home to his house where he was a teenager in Everett.
Wow.
And the problem is, it makes him a possible target.
Sure.
And luckily, I mean, I don't know if he ever got rides and we didn't hear about it, but the sheriff's department did pick him up twice and bring him back.
And he took off the next time because his mind was telling him time to go home to Everett.
Yes.
What would you say would be the number one reason for someone who doesn't have a degree but who has this problem of elder care and adult care? What can they take away from the event tomorrow, the guardianship forum?
I think they will be informed. I think one of the topics is alternatives to guardianships. A simple alternative is to have a power of attorney. And then the power of attorney, though, will not work if it does become this adversarial case where the senior believes they're safe and the child that they appointed believed they weren't safe. But that is an alternative that works in maybe 80% of the time where someone else is appointed to make decisions for you.
And would you say it's better to have a disimpassioned person making that decision than the child or grandchild?
It can be, particularly when we're talking guardian of the person. The decision sometimes for certain treatment or to terminate life support, well, some people just can't do it for anyone.
Right.
But some people are too emotionally involved when it's their parent to be stepping back for that. Also, sometimes a family's divided. And so having a neutral third party, and that's what the certified professional guardians are, that reduces the fallout, because if you have two children who are arguing, you know, they go from this is happening in this case to you always did this.
I
remember
know.
When we were 12?
Family arguments are no fun. That's why I stopped going to Thanksgiving. Peggy, that's a joke. Peggy Moxley, thanks for being here. She's an attorney at law. She specializes in elder care. The Guardianship Forum, which we're all going to be needing sooner or later, happens tomorrow at 8 a.m., goes to 5 p.m. It's at the Red Lion Inn. The website is aaccw.org. That stands for Adult and Aging Care of Central Washington, aaccw.org, if you want to check it out. Otherwise, the information is available online. Check that out and find yourself a reason to go or not go to the 2019 Guardianship Forum at the Red Lion Inn tomorrow. Peggy, thanks a lot. Good work.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Come on back sometime.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.